Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thereafter, the bhakti yogi should push the life air up between the eyebrows and then blocking out the 7 outlets of the life air. He should maintain his aim for going back home, back to Godhead. If he is completely free from all desires for material enjoyment, he should then reach the cerebral hole and give up his material connections, having gone to the Supreme. Purport's a little bit lengthy, just to prepare you. The process of giving up all material connections and returning home back to Godhead, the Supreme, is recommended herein. The condition is that one should be completely freed from material enjoyment, from desire for material enjoyment. There are different grades of material enjoyments in respect to duration of life and sensual gratification. The highest plane of sensual enjoyment for the longest period of time is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita 9:20. All are but material enjoyments, and one should be thoroughly convinced that he has no need of such a long duration of life, even in the Brahmaloka planet. He must return home back to Godhead, and must not be attracted by any amount of material facilities. In the Bhagavad Gita 2:59, it is said that this sort of material detachment is possible to attain when one is acquainted with the supreme association of life. Param dritva nivartate. One cannot be freed from material attraction unless he has complete understanding of the nature of spiritual life. The propaganda by a certain class of impersonalists that spiritual life is void of all varieties is dangerous propaganda to mislead the living beings into becoming more and more attracted by material enjoyments. As such, persons with a poor fund of knowledge cannot have any conception of the Param, the Supreme. They try to stick to the varieties of material enjoyments, although they may flatter themselves as being Brahman-realized souls. Such less intelligent persons cannot have any conception of the Param, as mentioned in this verse, and therefore they cannot reach the Supreme. The devotees have full knowledge of the spiritual world, the personality of Godhead, and his transcendental association in unlimited spiritual planets called Vaikuntha Lokas. Herein, Akunta Dristihi is mentioned. Akunta and Vaikuntha convey the same import. And only one who has his aim fixed upon that spiritual world and personal association with the Godhead can give up his material connections even while living in the material world. This Param and the Param Dharma, mentioned in several places in the Bhagavad Gita, are one and the same thing. One who goes to the Param Dharma does not return to the material world. This freedom is not possible even by reaching the topmost loka of the material world. The life air passes through 7 openings, namely 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 2 ears, and 1 mouth. Generally, it passes through the mouth at the time of an ordinary man's death. But the yogi, as above mentioned, who controls the life air in his own way, generally releases the life air by puncturing the cerebral hole in the head. The yogi therefore blocks up all the above mentioned 7 openings so that the life air will naturally burst forth through the cerebral hole. This is a sure sign of a great devotee's leaving the material connection. Magyanitamarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swapadanti Kam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay. So it's wonderful to be with all of you. We beg the blessings of our seniors and all the devotees so we can speak something that will be pleasing to the devotees, pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. So, this process, this is an interesting process of Krishna consciousness. There are so many nuances to the process. And in previous ages, people would engage in the process of Krishna consciousness in slightly different ways. What is being emphasized here is more a process whereby one is controlling much more subtle aspects of themselves, aspects of the subtle body, in order to allow the life air ultimately to leave through the top. This area is sometimes called the crown chakra. In other places, it's called the Brahmarandhra. And as is being explained by Prabhupada here, if one leaves through this higher place, then one, as Prabhupada is saying in the last sentence of this particular verse, this is a sure sign of a great devotee's leaving the material connection. Krishna consciousness is very wonderful for that reason. It is very wonderful that what is sometimes, or in the past, a mechanical process can be achieved in this lifetime by grace. And we have to be very clear upon that. Kripa Siddhi. So, Nitya Siddha, Sadhana Siddha, Kripa Siddha. Different ways in which one can become perfected. What we're looking for in Krishna consciousness is the mercy of pure devotees. We should be very, very clear upon that. We're looking for the blessings of pure devotees in order to achieve this. This purple, there's so much in this purple, which we can start to digest. Let's start here. So this purport, like many of Srila Prabhupada's purports, for example, is attacking people who have propaganda. So this sentence, let's see. The propaganda by a certain class of impersonalists that spiritual life is void of all varieties is dangerous propaganda to mislead the living beings into becoming more and more attracted by material enjoyments. This is very, very instructive. We can only aspire to something if we're attracted. We will only aspire to something if we're attracted. The process of negation is not enough. So it's sometimes said that the material enjoyment is the thesis. Renunciation is the antithesis. And Krishna consciousness is a synthesis. Because we bring everything together. It is not simply the negation of something lower, but it is the attachment and attraction to that which is of a higher caliber. And the wonderful thing about spiritual life is it has different meaning at different levels of advancement. Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Shri Gornitai Show the Dhammadaki Jayashu Prabhupada Samarani Jai. I was speaking to one devotee about humility. And we were making the point that humility is expressed in different ways at different levels of advancement. We see in the scripture the humility of Haridas Thakur. He's being whipped in 22 marketplaces. He says nothing. Why does he say nothing? The reason why he says nothing is because at that level of advancement, this is not an impediment to his devotional service. There's no need to say anything. Someone at a lower level, being whipped in any marketplace at any point in time is going to be, at least for me, it's a huge impediment. So we would need to act differently. This point also, this Paramdrita Devatate that Prabhupada talks about here, it also has different expressions at different levels. It has different expressions at different levels. We should really be very clear that we are in a war against the material energy. Right? If you wanted an adventure, don't worry, you've already enrolled in one. The moment you picked up the bead bag, the moment you opened any of Prabhupada's books, you enrolled. It's a very, very serious, but to be honest, incredible situation. The life of a devotee is almost like, it's kind of more like an epic movie. There's always something going on. There's always some intrigue. There's always something to learn. And that's if we're doing it properly, especially. It is breathtaking. But there are the rules of engagement. There are the rules by which we have to engage our spiritual life so we can become successful. And by those same rules, as is said here, we actually achieve the goal. Some of the blueprints for our success are given in this particular purport. They say that attachment and aversion are two sides of the same coin. So that's true in the material sense. Very true in the material sense. But in the spiritual sense, we want something above the material energy. So for example, this month of Kartik, we hear about Krishna's pastimes, we hear about these prayers, great prayers glorifying the Lord. What is that meant to invoke? There's a nama, there's a rupa, there's guna, there's lila. The name is there, the form is there, the qualities are there, the pastimes are there. But the pastimes are very special. If you're in a room by yourself, or no, let's say someone else, you see someone in a room by yourself, you don't know them, and I ask you, what are they like as a person? You have no idea. The reason why you have no idea is because they are acting in a space of, let's say, in a passive space. The moment they start interacting with other people, their qualities become known. It is through the exchange that we understand the qualities. So in a similar way, when we hear about the pastimes of the Lord, it is through those exchanges that we start to understand who is this particular person? Who is this Krishna? Who is his Srimati Radharani? Who are his associates and what are the qualities of those associates? So in the Leela, we have all the other ingredients in their full and animated sense. All the ingredients are animate. All the ingredients are completely present. And what does that do? It builds our attraction. In Krishna consciousness, there's different ways of doing things. I remember many years ago, unfortunately, having a conversation with one devotee. We were at the temple in London, and he was a bit fanatical. So much, you know, can't do this, can't do that. He was criticizing devotees who wear jeans, right? Because jeans is related to like cowboys, etc., etc., etc. So he was completely off. And it's interesting. After a while, he disappeared, left Krishna consciousness. And I could understand that you see these symptoms. If there's a lack of balance in the speech, there'll be a lack of balance in the thought. If there's a lack of balance in the thought, there'll be a lack of balance in the activities, which indicate that we're dealing with the lower modes of material nature, some issue. But what we're being given here is how to get that higher perception. We are in need of a relationship, ladies and gentlemen. Every single one of us, we're in need of a relationship. We're in need of a perfect relationship. A relationship that can only be fulfilled by Krishna and the residence of Vrindavan, which is our home. The verses and the purports of Srila Prabhupada's books are for one purpose. And that purpose is to make sure that everyone who reads and hears these verses becomes homesick. This material energy is like a bad friend. With a bad friend, there's no reciprocation and there's only attack and criticism. And it's done on purpose. It's done on purpose to get us to the point of looking for something superior. And this is why the Mayavad philosophy is so negative. It's so dangerous. Because when you negate the higher, all people have is a reference to this world. You understand? If you have nothing higher to aspire towards, you're in real trouble. So our whole life is to become attracted. We're already, unfortunately, attracted to the material energy. But this teaching is meant to change us by explaining to us that there's a higher reality. There's a much greater existence, and we are all meant to be part of that superior experience. So today, for example, is Gopastami. So it is said that after Krishna's fifth year, his father, Nanda Maharaj, also the other elders, they consider that Krishna has now graduated. He no longer has to look after just the calves. So he and Balaram will also be now looking after the cows. And so on this particular Gopastami day, there is also the pastime that Srimati Radharani, she wanted to join in this great celebration and festivities. And so basically, Subal, he actually, his appearance is very similar to Srimati Radharani's in some respects. So they do a swap. So she actually wears his clothes. She wears the clothes of Subal, and in that dress of a gopa, a cowherd boy, she's able to engage in these particular pastimes. So in temples in Vrindavan, on this day, at least some of the temples, what they will do is the deity of Radharani will be dressed as a cowherd boy. It is very wonderful just to hear what goes on in the spiritual world. It is wonderful to hear about the qualities of the Lord. We were explaining to some devotees, I think in Birmingham, when you read the scriptures and you hear about Krishna, for example, Krishna book and so on, it's good every now and then just pause for a moment and just take a note. What does this pastime show me about Krishna? What does this pastime show me about his associates? If you notice, Krishna, incredible sense of humor. Incredible sense of humor. So intelligent. The way that he does things. Even, it is so incredible. Even if you look at the way he does things here, it's just incredible. Everything about it, the way he acts, the way he arranges everything, is extremely beautiful. And it has a sweetness to it. And our only purpose in life is to reawaken this attraction. So there's a couple of things there. There's the things to be attracted to and the things to let go of. So this purple is especially speaking about being freed of material attraction. Now, this sentence is very interesting. One cannot be freed from material attraction unless he has complete understanding of the nature of spiritual life. Isn't that beautiful? You will see that Prabhupada, so often he writes and they're like sutras. He'll just put one sentence and you could unpack it forever. He has to have a complete understanding of the nature of spiritual life. What does that mean? It means you have to understand where you're going. But it also means that we have to understand the process to get there. Okay? You have to have the destination and you have to have the roots. Both things are necessary. Because what actually happens if we practice Krishna consciousness properly is it's a tailored process. It is a personal, tailored process to get us from wherever we are on the map to Goloka Vrindavan. It's interesting. In First Canto Bhagavatam, there's a place where Prabhupada says the spiritual master is meant to understand the nature of the disciple and give the disciple an instruction that engages them accordingly for them to make progress. Right? So for example, if someone has a strong, interest in money and so on, the spiritual master may say, make lots of money for ISKCON. Someone else may be given a different order. If we're mature, we can validate that, we can value that. If we're mature, I can understand that my order, my service is not necessarily the same as your service, but we're all in concert together. Devotees were telling me that, I think one speaker recently was saying that just because you're hardworking, don't think that means you're a pure devotee, which is a very good point. Very good point. Because you can be hardworking just by your conditioned nature. Interesting, isn't it? You can have people who are regulated just because it's their conditioned nature to be regulated. Now, of course, we should dovetail that in Krishna's service. Wonderful. But we have to at some point become more mature. Sometimes in our movement, what happens is we're self-centered. So whatever I'm good at, I try to judge the rest of the movement according to my conditioned nature. I like this. I'm into this particular service. So everyone is good or bad according to how much they do the same thing that I'm doing. Prabhupada says this, Atmavan Manyate Jagat. Everyone sees the world from their own perspective when we're immature. When we're immature. Someone told me recently that, they didn't tell me who the statement was from. I'm curious. I'm curious who it's from. And they said, oh, you know, the thing about brahmanas, they just like to give advice and they don't want to do anything practical. And I was thinking, no. That's not correct. Teaching is practical. This movement is so amazing. If we just situate ourselves properly, if we can free ourselves of selfishness just enough to genuinely appreciate each other's service, then you'll have an explosion. My humble estimate is that we could be at least 100 times more effective in our spreading of Krishna consciousness if we just created more of a collaboration in our services with each other, where everyone's particular service is genuinely appreciated and people are encouraged to do what they can actually do for Krishna. Sometimes we have people in management who can't manage. They couldn't manage materially, they definitely cannot manage spiritually. Right? Sometimes. You have some people, they're cooking and you just don't want, you know, it's a tip here. If you ever want to have enthusiasm to fast, right? Go to a temple where they can't cook. Right? There'll be no struggle. You'll perform austerities with absolutely no difficulty. Right? And we have temples like that. If everyone does what they can actually do, and if we understand that in Krishna's eyes, it's not what you're giving actually, it's what you're holding back. It's a very beautiful process. With proper guidance, we understand this. With proper guidance, we get a tailored package of Krishna consciousness. Because in these purples, where Prabhupada is speaking about a certain class of impersonalists, see, there's two ways of looking at it. If I'm proud, it's always everyone else. Yeah, these nasty impersonalists, they need to sort themselves. If I'm humble, I look at the same statement. When Prabhupada is talking about the impersonalists, who do I think he's speaking about? He's talking about me. I'm the impersonalist, right? Everyone should do what I'm doing in Krishna consciousness, impersonal. Everyone, even though it took me so much time to be convinced to take it up, when I'm preaching to a new person and they don't accept Krishna consciousness in just under 5 seconds, there's something wrong with them, right? There's no reference point. I completely forget how long it took me, right? But now I'm here, the world according to Buddha Bhavana. Now I'm here, if you don't surrender in 5 seconds flat, there's something wrong with you and you're admired. You see, isn't it so easy to forget? So easy to forget how much we were tolerated. So easy to forget how many doubts that we had. Right? So easy to forget how much we were challenging and so on. But wherever I am, everyone else has to be at that point at the same time. Otherwise, there's something wrong with you. Selfish. And that's why we're unhappy. No one can be happy if the whole world is, if they're absorbed in themselves. It doesn't work. So when you see people like that, don't worry. You think, oh, but they've got this, they've got that. This is the illusion of the material world. If you understand the scriptures properly, what it does is it actually gives you this ability to see through everything, to be really honest with you. These verses and the purples, they become like a lens that enters into your own consciousness. You just look, you see, you understand immediately, oh, okay, it's like this. Right? Sometimes people think, oh, but the outsiders, they've got this, they've got that, they're doing so well. But if you have a certain vision, you look, you can immediately see, it's not what it seems. And unfortunately, that also applies to the devotees as well. If we're still trapped by the lower modes, it doesn't matter how things look externally. You just scratch beneath the surface and you think, oh my God, what is going on here? But we shouldn't be like that. You see, the trouble with the material world is it's all packaging and no substance. As long as we remain Kanishka the Adhikaris, we'll be like that. It will be all packaging and absolutely no substance. It will be all a show, and you scratch beneath the surface, there's no realization. And no realization means no happiness. Christian consciousness does work. It works for people who have two qualities, sincere and serious. You got that point? Two qualities required, and then the whole thing works. Number one, you're sincere. Yes, I have material desires. That's not a problem to Krishna, right? It's not like he doesn't know. You understand the point? That's not the problem. Okay, but are you trying your best? I have these material desires, but I'm going to try and serve as you want, Krishna. I know I'm fallen, therefore I'm humble, okay? Because I know I'm fallen, right? So if you see someone who's not humble, it means that they're out there, they're living in some kind of dream world. It's a distorted vision of reality. No, I take it back. If they're not humble, no, actually even that, Prabhupada's always humble anyway. But if they seem proud and they're pure devotees, fine, no problem. They can be proud of how Krishna is reciprocating with their love. Fantastic. Everyone else, if they're proud, there's a problem. Because pride means you're out of touch with reality. You're out of touch with how small. We're out of touch with how small that we are. And pride comes before a what?
Fool.
Absolutely guaranteed. Absolutely guaranteed. And you can watch it. These things that you read in the scriptures, if you watch, you'll see it's always correct. And I repeat that. Every single word that Prabhupada gives is always correct. There's nothing that's written in these books which is not true. Because this is Sambandha Gyan. What is Sambandha Gyan? Sambandha Gyan means a detailed and accurate understanding of reality. And if you have proper Sambandha Gyan, you understand the world that you are actually in, the reality that you're dealing with, the spiritual, then on the basis of understanding the reality, then you do your Abhideya and it will be effective. If you know the truth, if you deeply understand the truth, then you can start to navigate out of the material energy and you can come back home, back to Godhead, really expertly. It is so powerful. If you don't, then you're going to get cut. And you see that with devotees again and again. Oh, but why? Oh, is that what the scriptures said? But they shouldn't be like this. Well, no, but Prabhupada says they are like this. Prabhupada says they are like this. Prabhupada says this is how the world actually is. This is how the Kanishka Adhikari behaves. This is how the Madhyam Adhikari behaves. This is how the Uttama Adhikari behaves. He gives it and he's always correct. It's just that we don't want to accept what we're told by the scripture. And until we accept that, which is part of the surrender, by the way. Okay, the material world isn't what I project it to be. The material world is what Prabhupada says that it is. And the spiritual world is what Prabhupada says that it is. The process is exactly what Prabhupada says that it is. Some of us in the material world, you're expecting justice. Don't expect justice. Because in Krishna consciousness, what do I mean by this? What I mean is, you should understand it will always be mercy over justice. And the day it stops being mercy over justice is the day that you leave Krishna consciousness. Because we're here because of what? Mercy. You understand? Please believe me. We're being held by someone else. That's how the whole thing works. Oh, how come this person? Yeah, because of mercy. But they did this, yeah, but because of mercy, they're still here. And the same mercy that's allowing them to stay is the same mercy that's allowing us to stay. That doesn't mean that there won't be correction. That's something else. Please navigate your spiritual life according to these teachings. It's so amazing. So, This today is the appearance of Srinivasacharya. When I was coming here, I was just reading this pastime. So Srinivasacharya, he goes to Vrindavan. Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, they've just left. He faints. When he faints, he sees them. And they give him some direction. He takes shelter of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And he takes instruction from Jiva Goswami. At one point, Janava Devi, because she knows about the writings of the Goswamis and that there's this huge treasure chest of knowledge. So Janava Devi sends a message to Jiva Goswami that these teachings should be sent to Bengal to be copied and distributed. So Jiva Goswami sends Srinivas and a few others to do this. Now on their journey, they stop in a place called Gopalpur. They take rest. They have a cart, actually. They have a cart, bullocks. They've even received a passport from the king of Jaipur so they can go through the different tolls. But they stop one day in Gopalpur. And so they rest one night. Now the king, Vihambir, he's told by the astrologer that there's a great treasure that's present. So what does he do? He sends 200 dacoits to steal that chest, to steal the scriptures. He doesn't know. He just knows it's treasure. That's his understanding. Of course, when he opens, he realizes, oh, it wasn't the treasure that he expected. Anyway, so to cut a long story short, he realizes he's made a mistake. Srinivas and the others, they're devastated to find out that the scriptures have been taken. He sends the others ahead, but he stays behind and says, I'll recover. I'll try and find out what's going on. Now, he's heard that the king has this Bhagavatam recital, right, by one person, I can't remember the name actually, but he decides to just come and hear. He's not impressed by the recital, because actually he can see that this person is full of, you know, impersonalist philosophy, etc. After about 2 weeks, he can't hold himself back, and he corrects the person who's giving this. And the king then says, okay, well, why don't you can explain. When Srinivas is explaining the teachings of Krishna consciousness, the king and the others, they're so impressed by his wisdom, his devotion, his realization, they surrender to him. And the king knows that Srinivas is in connection with this treasure of literature that was taken. Anyway, he actually admits what has happened, and he lets Srinivas know that this is here, and Srinivas is completely happy that they've recovered this. And that king becomes a disciple. And that entire kingdom also becomes converted to Krishna consciousness. Chanting Hare Krishna in that kingdom becomes compulsory. Right? Compulsory. Just a little heads up to those of you who like to do big preaching, something to aspire towards, right? The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra becomes compulsory. People are not willing to adhere. They're told, feel free to go elsewhere. For want of a better term. The disappearance of Srinivasacharya is considered, is quite mysterious in terms of the exact way that he left. One of the reasons is because it's considered very painful to hear such things. How such great devotees actually leave the planet. But on this day, we can pray to such personalities. You know, he would, his program, he would wake up early 4 or 5 o'clock until about 10 a.m. and he would read and explain Bhagavatam to his disciples. You know, in the evening, he'd speak about Krishna's pastimes to his disciples. His sadhana, extruled, extremely powerful, pure. Luckily, because of the, again, causeless mercy of this personality, Srila Prabhupada, mercy that no one can even conceive of, therefore we get to hear about such personalities. And on such days, their disappearance or appearance days, if we pray to them, they're present. Always remember that as long as Prabhupada is here, all the residents of Vrindavan, the pure devotees, Krishna, they're accessible. Because they're always with him. There are so many pastimes with the Murti, where people would come and they'd see the Murti. We brought a group here recently. So Russell Brand was having a program, so he had this program at the Haveli. And it was with a group of people, and one of them said to me, because they came to the temple room, and they said to me, you know, what's the name of the deities again? And I told them, and they said, you know, he said, I think it was Lord Ram. He said, I felt like he was watching me. That's what he actually said. He said, as I moved around the room, I felt that he's watching me. Which is completely, completely plausible. So, as a takeaway, please practice your spiritual life personally. Don't be fooled into thinking that what everyone else is doing is the same thing that you have to do. The principle is the same. How the principle is expressed according to time, place, circumstance, and person is different according to who you are and where you are on the journey of Krishna consciousness. That's why it requires personal association and personal guidance. That's point number one. Point number two, we have to become free of self-centeredness. There's so much more to Krishna consciousness, but we can't see it as long as we're trapped in the selfish mentality. We have to learn to appreciate the devotees for who they are, where they are on their journey, while encouraging them to move forward every time. And the best way that we encourage them to move forward is by moving forward ourselves. You got that point? I remember I was coming, I was a bride in Rath Yatra, and we were speaking to this Prabhupada disciple after the end of the procession, and I asked her, because she's been around a long time, right? They're still there, they're still practicing, and I said to her, what's the secret of really making it through in Krishna consciousness? She said, practice is more important than preaching. And I thought it's an interesting statement. So where's that from? And she said, from Prabhupada. And she said, she quoted Prabhupada, example is more important than precept. Right? And then she explained something really wonderful to me, which I've seen this. She said to me, if your practice is good, your preaching will automatically have potency. That's what she said to me. I repeat that. If your practice is good, your preaching will automatically have potency. And she said, of course, if Prabhupada was here, he'd say, even if your practice isn't good, still you should preach. So it's not an either or, okay? But that point is there. So let us dive in. Think about how you're practicing Krishna consciousness now and think, what can I refine? Okay, some of us are more intellectual. I know for myself, if I don't read, my mind will send me to hell. Okay? So it's like, so everyone should read, but if your intelligence is a strong part of your subtle body, you have to read. You have to study. Right? I remember, and I was telling someone the other day, and then I'll end on this point because I know it's time. I remember I was, we were at the end of, we were in a retreat with His Holiness Chandramouli Maharaj, who knows me very well. At the end of the retreat, I paid obeisances. This is why we need a senior association. I said to him, Maharaj, is there any final instruction for me? He said, yes. And then he said to me, he said, your nature, Bhuta Bhavna, is such that you have to do things in a different way. Right? You have to find different ways of spreading Krishna consciousness. He said, if you have to do things the same way all the time, you can't do it. You need to do things in new and innovative ways. He gave me that instruction, and it's completely true. Completely true. Now, there are other devotees, they have to do everything the same way. Have you noticed that? The same thing done the same way at the same time, the same day all the time. And that works for them. Absolutely fantastic. So, when we're mature, then I'm not imposing what works for me onto them, and they're definitely not imposing what works for them onto me. You understand that point? This is how Krishna consciousness really works. We have to take responsibility. It is our responsibility to do everything humanly possible to make sure we become perfect in this lifetime. And don't say some authority didn't do this for you, and therefore that's why you've not come back. That's your test. The fact that someone's challenging you, it's not an accident. That's our test in Krishna consciousness. And those tests will keep coming. Okay? So take it as a challenge. Krishna's giving me this challenge. Okay, now, I use my association, my knowledge of the scripture, my own sadhana, I use everything in available to figure out how to become Krishna conscious even in the face of these different challenges and tests, because that's what Krishna's wanting me to do. It is so incredibly exciting if we just do this properly. Okay, we'll stop there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Haribhakti Srinivasacharya Prabhu ki jai. Gopastami Mahotsava ki jai. Janitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.